in front of the world and promptly married off. From what Betsy could see, her father was her stepmother's best friend. Only a girl with eight brothers could sympathize with the revulsion that swept over Betsy at that thought. Friends with a boy? Never. Boys smelled and shouted. They thought nothing of tossing water over one's head, pulling hair, and passing wind deliberately. How could a boy possibly understand how she felt about life? She longed for a kindred soul, a girl who would sympathize with the unfairness of having to ride side saddle and not being allowed to shoot a bow and arrow from horseback. A few years ago, when her brothers Alaric and Parth had announced they wanted to visit China, her father's eyes had lit up, and a whole meal flew by talking of three-masted schooners and mountains of tea. True, the Duke had forbidden the voyage until the boys were older, but he'd laughed when he discovered they'd sailed off anyway. If she ran away to sea, the idea was unthinkable. If her wishing stone had worked, she'd be living in a place where girls were allowed to wear breeches and travel wherever they wished. Lying in bed after her 14th birthday party, attended by five brothers since Viola and Joan were recovering from the chickenpox, Betsy realized that if she wanted a girlfriend, she had to take matters into her own hands. She had wished for a friend before blowing out the candle on her birthday cake, but inside, she no longer had faith. Magic had proved ineffective, if not irrelevant. Yet there is more than one way to skin a goat, as the family coachman had it. It took 3 months of coaxing, pleading, and outright tantrums, but finally, Betsy, Joan, and Viola were taken to the very best boarding school in England, an establishment run by Miss Stevenson, who had the distinction of being the daughter of a Viscount. As they walked into the imposing building, Betsy struggled to maintain ladylike comportment. She couldn't stop the giddy smile that curled her lips. When a maid arrived to escort her to the wing for older girls, she hugged her father and stepmother goodbye and danced out the door, leaving them to mop up her stepsister Viola's tears. Viola was shy and afraid to live away from home, but as Betsy heard girls' laughter from behind a closed door, her heart swelled with pure joy. She was finally, finally where she was meant to be.
"You will share a parlour suite with Lady Octavia Taymor and Miss Clementine Clark," the maid assigned to escort her said. "Each of you has your own chamber, of course, and your maid will attend you morning and evening. You may become acquainted with Lady Octavia and Miss Clark over tea."
Betsy's heart was beating so quickly that she felt slightly dizzy. Clementine was such a beautiful name. And hadn't Octavius been a general? Octavia was named after a warrior, just as she was. The parlour looked like a smaller version of parlours at Lindo Castle, tastefully furnished with a silk rug and rosy velvet curtains. A table before the fireplace was set with a silver tea service. Betsy's eyes flew to the two girls, who rose and came to meet them. Clementine had yellow ringlets and a pursed mouth like a rosebud. Octavia had low dark eyebrows and a thin face.
"Your name is so pretty,"
Betsy told Clementine after the maid left.
"I wish I could say the same for yours,"
Clementine said, sitting down with a little smile as if she were merely jesting. Betsy blinked.
"Boadicea is certainly unusual,"
she said hastily.
"I prefer Betsy."
Clementine's nose wrinkled.
"We have a second housemaid who used to be called Betsy. My mother changed her name to Perkins."
Betsy couldn't think what to say.
"I see,"
she managed, her voice coming out flat and strange.
"Please, won't you sit down, Lady Betsy?"
Octavia asked, gesturing toward a chair. Betsy sat.
"Have you been at the seminary for some time, Lady Octavia?"
she asked.
"Clementine and I have been the only parlour boarders since,"
Octavia began.
"I have every expectation that my mother will fetch me away within the week,"
Clementine said, interrupting.
"I see,"
Betsy repeated, fighting to make her voice cordial. It was ridiculous to feel shaky and a little frightened. This wasn't the way she had imagined her first encounter with possible friends. But Clementine was only one person.